We're dealing with scenarios of houses that collapse. Yesterday we learned about a house that collapses and kills a son and a father. Then there's a dispute. Did the father die first? So the son therefore inherited, and therefore there was a debt, or there's a lien that took effect, and then the person the son owes money to, or the wife that he owes the ksuba to, can collect. Or do we say that, no, the son died first. When he died, he had no money. And then father died. So there is no ability to collect anything from the son. That was what we learned about yesterday, an argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So now we have another case. Nafla bayis alav al ishto. If a house falls on a man and his wife. So we know that according to the halacha, a wife does not inherit her husband, but the husband inherits the wife. So if the house fell on the wife and on the husband, Yarshei Abal Omrim Isha Mesa Rishona, those who inherit the husband claim the woman died first, the husband inherited her, so now we get those assets. Yachakach Mesa Baal, then the husband died. It may have been only a moment later, but for a moment he owned all of her assets, then he died, so we get all of it. But the inheritors, the heirs of the woman say, Baal Mes Rishon, the husband died, so her assets stayed in her own domain. Then she died. So we inherit her assets. So Beis Shammai say, we don't know, so they should divide up the assets. So let's say she has assets, Nichsei Tzon Barzel, where the value is written in the Ksuba, the value is guaranteed, whether it goes up or down in value, or Nichsei Malog, the value is not written in the ksuba, but it's assets that the husband has the right to get the fruits out of it, or the benefits from it. So all of those have to be divided equally between the heirs of the husband and the heirs of the wife. But Beis Hillel say, no, all the assets stay in their earlier chazaka. The one who owned them before still owns them. So presumably, Nechse Malog, assets that he gets to pluck the value from, but she owns the principal, so they belong to her, so they would now go to her heirs. Ksuba, the value of the ksuba itself, which belonged to him, Mechezkas Yarshei Habal, that was in the possession of those who inherit him, so now that he died, it'll go to them. Nechasim and Nechnasim Ayotzim Ima, whereas those assets that come in and out with her, namely Nechse Malog, Bechezkas Yarshei Av, that goes to her heirs, because it's really her asset, and he just had a right of usage, so that'll go to her heirs. So again, if a house falls on a husband and a wife, the heirs of the husband claim wife died first, husband inherited, then husband died, so we therefore get all the assets, whereas the heirs of wife claim no. Let's say the heirs of the wife or the father is the father of the wife. The father-in-law says, no, first the husband died. My daughter's assets stayed hers. And then she died, so I get her assets. So it depends. Beis Shammai say everything gets divided. Beis Hillel say, we look at where the assets were. We look at the chazaka. So in terms of the money for the ksuba, that was in the hands of the husband. So now it'll go to, no, his heirs. His heirs will inherit that money because we don't know that he was ever obligated to pay it. So therefore, it'll go to his heirs. However, assets that were basically hers, like Nichsei Malog, assets that she brings in, but he's able to take the fruits, but the assets are hers. So now that she died, and we don't know if she died first and therefore now her heirs don't get, or she died second and her heirs do get, so it was hers, so now the heirs take her place and they get it. That's the view of Beis Hillel. All right, now the Gemara is going to ask, what about Nichsei Tzon Barzel? Bechezkas mi, right? Beis Hillel say the assets are in their chazaka. So what about Tzon Barzel assets? Whose chazaka are those assets in? So we actually have here three opinions. According to Rabbi Yochanan, since in Nichsei Tzon Barzel, when the value of the asset is written into the ksuba, So then whatever gain will come out of this asset, and whatever diminishment will come to this asset, either one is going to be borne completely by the husband. The husband is responsible for giving this complete value back. So that's basically considered his. He's achray, he's responsible, so it's his. So therefore, when he died, and we don't know whether he can transmit it to his children or not, because we don't know when she died, we say it goes to his children. However, Belazer says, since the whole point of Nichsei Tzon Barzel is that these assets are written into the ksuba to, you know, solidify the debt that the husband will owe the wife. So it's the wife's assets. So if we don't know when she died, whether she died first or second, we keep it with her relatives. And Rish Lakish holds that in regards to Nichsei Tzon Barzel, they should divide it because the assets are becheskas both. The assets are in the possession of the wife because it's coming from the wife. On the other hand, it's in the possession of the husband because the husband is fully responsible for these assets.
The Nichsei Tzon Barzel,
it's different because there's greater responsibility. In Nichsei Malog, if the assets go down in value, the husband doesn't have to make up that diminishment, that decrease. But in Nichsei Tzon Barzel, that's why it's called iron sheep. The value is set, the value was written into the ksuba. He's responsible for that value. Once a person's responsible for something, that might make him an owner. That's the view of Reb Yochanan. We find it in regards to chametz, for example. If you're watching chametz of a non-Jew, but you're responsible for it, that if you lose it, you have to pay him, then you are violating Bal Yiroh Val Yimatzeh with that chametz. And since you're responsible, that makes you an owner.
But
you
could be a shomer and watch it.
But shomer with a degree of achrayus has a degree of ownership. That's what we saw in our other halachos too.
Before the marriage, those assets belonged to her.
They were her assets.
And he put in the ksuba
to keep their value and to restore to her their value. So now he's obligated himself. Once he's obligated, maybe that makes him a little bit of an owner. Rebbe Elazar says no, it's still her. And Reb Shimon Lakish says it's both.
It's to be restored to her upon divorce.
Or death. Of him. That's right.
And in case of death, sorry, about it would then be used to support her, the kids that she had with him? No, it's her assets.
She gets it back. These are things she got from her father. It's her stuff. V'chein tani bar kapara. Bar kapara also said in the Mishnah, since the heirs of the husband are claiming that that the wife died first, everything went to the husband, now they're inheriting from the husband, so they want to get everything. Whereas the heirs of the wife are saying that husband died first, her assets were still in her domain, then she died, so we get everything. Therefore, yachloku, then they should both divide it, because they both have a claim. In other words, they both have a legitimate claim. One has a legitimate claim, these are my assets, I brought them from my father's home. The other one has a legitimate claim, these are my assets, I guaranteed them. If I guaranteed them and I'm responsible to make sure you get their value back, then to some degree they're mine. And therefore my children should be the one who inherit it. All right, next case, next Mishnah. Nafal abayis, if the house fell, alav on him, the al-imo, and on his mother. So, the heirs of the mother, let's say her brothers, claim the son died first. After he died, his mother died. So, when his mother died, there was no heir other than us. So we get all of her assets, whereas the children, the relatives of the son, so they claim, let's say they had the same father as the son. So they claim, no, the mother died first, the son inherited the mother's wealth, and then the son died. So we get now the mother's wealth. So now in this case, Elu ve'elu, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel Modim agree, Shayachloku, then everything should be divided up. Because they're both coming with the same claim. Both are claiming inheritance. The heirs of the mother are claiming it was the mother and we inherited from her. And the heirs of the husband or the son are saying we are the heirs of the son. He inherited and we got it from him.
Shammai and Hillel, they agree for the first time?
They agree. Oh, we'll see if it's for the first time. We'll see if they stay with the agreement. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said, Modani, if you said you both, that both Bisham and Bishil agree that it should be divided. I also agree here. I agree, I agree here that the money is not divided. Rather, the property stays in the domain that it was already in. So Amalo ben Azai, so ben Azai said to Rabbi Akiva, al chalukin anu mitztarin, on all the different arguments. Let's say the argument we just had between Bisham and Bisil about a house that falls on a wife and a husband. So we feel so bad that there's an argument. Bisham, I hold, it gets divided. Bisil holds that you split up the assets, right? The assets, you look at each one. Assets that were his, namely the ksuba money, goes to his heirs. Assets that were hers, namely the, you know, nichsei tzon barzel, possibly, that goes to her. And now, l'shabasa, so we were upset that there was an argument, and now you're coming and you're breaking up this case where there's an agreement. There's an agreement between Beis Sham and Beis Hillel. Baruch sentiment is so wonderful, they finally agree. So now you, Rabbi Akiva, are coming to mess it all up, say, no, not everybody agrees to this law. It's so nice when we have everybody agreeing. Why are you making it difficult? That's the view of Ben Azai.
Make America great.
So now, the Gemara explains what Rabbi Akiva was saying. Bechaz Kasmi, Rabbi Akiva says, the assets stay in the domain that they were in. Whose domain were they in? So Rabbi Ila Amar Bechaz Kas Yorshia Ein. Again, it's a mother who has assets and a child, and they both died in a building collapse. So that means that this is money that belonged to the mother. As long as she was alive, after her husband's death, it was her assets, and she's from a particular tribe. Let's say she's from the tribe of Reuven. So these were assets of Reuven. Her husband may have been from a different tribe, from Shimon. So the assets were assets of the Reuven tribe. So we assume it stays the Reuven tribe. So now that she and her son are dead, we assume that what happened was that the son died first, then she died, so that the money will go to her brothers who are still from the Reuven tribe. However, Reb Zera says, when Reb Akiva says the assets stay in their chazaka, that means b'cheskas yorshei haben. That means they go into the relatives of the son. Let's say other brothers from the same father but different mothers. Why would they necessarily go to the son? Because they say like this: the assets were hers. Okay, but who was the likely heir? When her husband was alive, the likely heir is her husband. But the moment her husband dies, the likely heir is the son. Normally we don't assume that the son's going to die in the lifetime of mother. We assume the mother will die, and then the son will inherit. So the likely heir was the son. So that already makes the assets becheskas, presumed to be the son's. They're on their way to the son. Now we don't know if the son actually inherited, because both son and mother are dead, and maybe mother died first. Or maybe son died first. So now we say, let's leave it in the chazaka, the way we were assuming before, and it goes to the heirs of the son. That's what Reb Zera said initially. So again, Rabbi Akiva says that when mother and son both die in a house, and we don't know who died first and who died second, so Beis Sham and Beis Hillel say we divide the assets. Rabbi Akiva says, no, we leave the assets on the same track they were on before. What was the track that they were on before? Reb Ila says they were on the track of the mother, and Reb Zera said they were on the track of the son. However, Kisalik Reb Zera, when Reb Zera moved from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and we learned back in Baba Metzia that when Reb Zera moved from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, he was so excited to now learn the Eretz Yisrael Torah that he fasted for 100 days to forget all the Torah that he knew in Bavel, that he should only know Eretz Yisrael Torah. So when Reb Zera went to Eretz Yisrael, come b'shitas to Reb Ila, that he revisited this issue and he decided, you know what, Reb Ila was right. And therefore, according to Reb Akiva, if mother and son die in a house collapse, when Reb Akiva says the money stays on the track that it was on, the track that it was on was mother. So it goes to the relatives of mother, not to the relatives of son.
What's the difference between the Torah of Babel and Torah of Israel?
Oh, we're about to see. Amar Reb Zeira said, Shmamina, you see from this, from the fact that I initially thought the money was on track for the son, and that Rabbi Akiva says the money stays with where it's on track, it's going to the relatives of the son. Then I changed my mind once I came to Eretz Yisrael. I said, no, the money's not on track to go to the son, it's on track to go to the, to stay with the mother. You know what you see? You see that Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkim, the heir of the land of Israel, makes a person very wise. So since the heir of the land of Israel makes me wise, once I'm in Israel, I understood better, and I reversed that which I had thought when I was in Bavel. I see here in the footnote that they quote Tzafnas Paneach, that was the rugged Shavar Gaon, who explained the land of Israel makes people wise, because the land of Israel was gazed at by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't get into the land. He asked God, at least let me see the land. And God allowed him to see the land. So whatever Moshe Rabbeinu saw was made holy by Moshe Rabbeinu. And so since Moshe Rabbeinu made it holy, that creates a quality to the air that it can make people wise.
The energy in Yerushalayim is the highest around the world. Right,
must be.
Correct.
So the Gemara says, "V'taima ma'is." And now, why did Reb Zeira change his mind and say that the assets stay with the mother's family? Amar Abaye. So Abaye explained, "Ha'avuchsukah nachla ba'oso shevet." The mother may not be the same tribe as the son. So these assets, before this house collapsed, they belonged to the mother. So when they belonged to the mother, these were assets of the mother's tribe. So that's the tribe it was on. So we assume it stays in that tribe. Therefore, she died. We just don't know if she could be bequeathed, because maybe she died first and the son died second. We assume no. The son died first and she died second, because that will enable her brothers to get the assets, and that will keep the assets in her tribe. And that's what we assume is probably the less radical. It's more of keeping consistent by keeping the assets within her tribe.
Did they call them intermarriage if they married?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, right?
When I grew, my father comes from a Hasidic family. My mother comes from a very anti-Hasidic family, so I used to think it was an intermarriage. The Hasidim and the Misnagd. Amar lo ben Azai. So Ben Azai says back to Rabbi Akiva, "Ala chalukim anu mitzdarin." We are upset about the case of a house that falls on a father and a son. And then we saw there was an argument on a house that falls on a husband and a wife. And then we saw there was an argument between Bishamai and Beisilo. Bishamai say that the assets get divided. Beis Hillel says you leave the assets where they were. In other words, the ksuba money stays with the heirs of father, whereas the nichse malog stays with the heirs of mother. Nichse tzon barzel we saw was a question. What happens to that? That might stay with the father's heirs, or maybe that stays with the mother's heirs, or maybe that gets split. So we were worried about that case. And now you add another case where there is an argument. So says the Gemara, apparently like this. Right? Listen to the language that he uses in the Mishnah. Amar lo ben Azai. Ben Azai said to him, "Al chalukim anu mitzdar." On the scenario where there's a dispute, we are in pain. El shabasa, but you came l'chalok aleinu es hashavim, to split up a scenario where everybody agrees. Now it doesn't say sheba rabenu, that our teacher came. It said shabasa, that you came. So Amar Reb Silai said, Ada Amra. This apparently tells us. Ben Azai was Talmud and then Chavir Rabbi Akiva Hava. Ben Azai began as a student of Rabbi Akiva, but eventually he matured in his wisdom and his knowledge. He became a contemporary, he became an equal, he became a friend of Rabbi Akiva. Because he talks to him in the first person directly. He says, Kamle Shabasa, you came. He doesn't say, our teacher came. He said, you came. So the fact that he says, you came, that shows a certain familiarity. That means that he became a chaver. All right, Shalchu Metzam. They sent an answer from the land of Israel to Bavel. Ben Shalav Benichse Aviv B'chai Aviv. If a son borrows money, and the lien that he's create, the collateral that he's providing, is his Yerusha. He says, listen, my father is alive, but he owns a bunch of fields. Once my father dies, I'll inherit some of those. Those fields are obligated to repay the loan. Umeisin, in fact, the father did die. So now, Beno, so this lender, Motzim Yada Lekuchos, can even take the fields away from people who bought it from the father. The Zoe Shakasha Bedini Mamanos. And this is a halacha that's very difficult to understand in the monetary law. So the Gemara says, what's so hard here? So the Gemara now says, first the Gemara asks actually the following. Lo vemai mapik. How could the lender, how could the borrower, how could the borrower, the son, how could he take it away from people who bought it from the father? He's the borrower.
But he didn't take it away from...
That was what he said.
He mortgaged the property and he took the money.
But he gave something to Bashenu Ba'alam as a collateral.
Correct, but we're saying that he can go take it from the people who bought it. How could he take it? It's the lender who can take it. Right, it's a mistake. And furthermore, lakuchos mayavidite. Right, what did the buyers do wrong? Eliyitmar, so if something was said, hachiyitmar, this is what was said. Ben shemachar benichsei avim b'chaye avim. If the son sells the portion of his father's inheritance that he's going to get, he hasn't yet gotten it, but he says, I'm selling it now, umeis, and then in fact, that son dies, and then the father dies. So now like this, you know, the son of the son. In other words, the son sold it, his son, motzi miyada lekuchos, he can take it away from the buyers. The Zoe Shakasha Bedini Mamanos. This is a difficult law. The Lame Rule, because why can't the buyer say, Avuch Mazbin, I don't understand. Your father sold. So now, At Mepik, how could you take it away from the people who bought it from your father? In other words, when your father sold it, he made himself obligated to provide this asset to us for the money that we gave him. So now he inherited the assets because his father died. So now the deal goes through.
The father died before the son. You have the grandfather, the father, and the son. So the father died before the grandfather. Is it the situation here?
I'm unclear, but certainly the father.
That claim direct link with the grandfather.
Right. So in other words, it was the son who died. Then the grandfather, then the grandson comes. So, why is this such a difficult law? Let the grandson come and say, well, I inherited. The Gemara says, I'll tell you why it's so difficult. Because here they'll tell him, your father sold.
He didn't sell it, he mortgaged it.
No, this is another case. We're changing the text of the Braisa. We're saying that the father actually sold. And since the father sold, how could now the buyers lose out? So the question is, my Krisha, why is it so difficult? Dilma Matzi Amar, why can't the grandson say the following? He'll say like this, I'm not trying to take the assets because of my father. Mikoach avua d'abakasina. I'm coming to take the assets because I'm a grandson. Tehdas, the pasuk says, "Tziv tachas avosecha yubanecha." In the place of your son, of your fathers, will be your sons. To shisem l'sirim b'chol aretz, you will place them as leaders over the land. So you see that the grandson can inherit directly. So what's so difficult? The son sold land that he doesn't yet have. He says, when I get it, then the sale will go through. But then the son dies. Then the father dies. So now we said that the sale went through. What do you mean the sale went through? We said the sale went through, but the grandchildren can come and take it away. This is a difficult halacha. Why can the grandchildren take it away? It's very understandable why the grandchildren can take it away. Because they can say, we inherit directly from our grandfather. When our grandfather died, it's not that the assets went to the son, who is dead, who had already sold it, so now it goes over to the people who bought it from him. No, when grandfather died, it went directly to us. We're the grandchildren, we're the heirs. So of course we can take it. Why is this such a difficult halacha?
Is the grandson arguing that the son didn't have the right to sell his father's property? I mean, or that the sale is not valid?
But the sale never took effect.
Because the father had no right to sell the grandfather's property.
Yeah, he can't sell what he doesn't own. At the time of the sale, he didn't own it. And then, by the time he does own it, because the grandfather dies, but at that point, it's too late, because now the grandchildren take it.
But why couldn't the purchaser say that the grandfather never protested the sale, never...
So what? But nothing took effect. There's no need for a protest if nothing takes effect. Person doesn't own what he's trying to sell. Of course, there was nothing here. So the Gemara is going to have to try to figure out what is the meaning of this brisa. Thank you. Looking forward. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha Omer, Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Et Yisrael. Lefi Chachir B'Lem Toru Mitzvah, Shenema, Adonai Chafetz L'Man Tzidko, Yagdil T'Rav Yadir.